I think some national introspection. They're thinking about the country. They're thinking about nations. And that's really the topic of the Tehillim that we have this morning, insofar as Tehillim is a general reflection on divine majesty. So part of that is the divine relationship with the individual, but part of that is also God's role in the rise and fall of nations. You know, in the biblical canon, the nations of the and empires of greatest significance are, of course, first Egypt and then the Babylonian Empire, and then we get into the Persian Empire, and then rabbinic literature, there's obviously an overwhelming focus on the Greek and Roman empires, respectively. But there's a consistent theme, let's say, between the biblical and rabbinic traditions, which is that, you know, empires come and go, and they become extremely powerful in material terms, and then a nation comes along which is in some ways more advanced, technologically more powerful, and that's all part of the process of the movement of history. And the Jewish people, never really, or maybe perhaps for a very brief period under Shlomo, experienced that kind of material power and advancement and success, that they exist within the framework of these competing nations. Of course, you know, the nation in which we've been blessed to live, that now just celebrated 244 years, even as it is exceptional, it's still part of a historical sweep. So the words of the psalmist are highly relevant. Amarti laholim al taholil arishayim al tarimu karen. I said to the frivolous ones that they should not act with such frivolity, and to the wicked ones that they should not be brazen. Al tarimu lamarom karnechem. Tadabru b'tzavar atak. You should not be arrogant in the face of God. Kilo mimotza mimarav. For not with the rising or setting of the sun does one gain strength. V'lo mimidbar harim. Nor does one elevate oneself based on conquests or feats of crossing deserts. Ki Elohim shofet. God judges in the end. Ze yashpil. This one he shall lower, v'zeh yarim, and this one he shall exalt or elevate. You see here the language, by the way, of the Nisan HaTokef that we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, mi shafel umi yarum. It comes from this text right here. Zeh yashpil v'zeh yarim. God lowers in terms of other nations, and God raises up. And that's part of the process of God judges the righteousness or lack thereof of nations and empires. So the Medrash quotes this pasuk actually in the context of one of the most famous scenes of empire transition in the Bible, when you have the Persian conquest of the Babylonian Empire, as foretold by Daniel. Daniel sees the handwriting on the wall at the party of Belshazzar. The Medrash says, "Bishashera Belshazzar pasyada diktava." When Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, Tama, he was astonished. Amar shememalchus mardavi. And he imagined that it was one of the provinces that was in rebellion. So he checked in with all of his governors and his regional officers, and he didn't find that anybody was in rebellion. So, in effect, God said to him, you sent a message to all of your governors, God says, but you didn't check in with me. I'm in fact rebelling against you. And I'm in fact pulling the carpet out from under the Babylonian Empire. Ani hu mashpil umerim shenemar Elohim shofet zeh yashpil v'zeh yarim. And Belshazzar becomes so arrogant, he didn't recognize that ultimately majesty and sovereignty rested with divine force. And that's something that I think the greatest of our nation's leaders did recognize. I grew up every single day, as I'm sure many people here did, first thing in the morning in school, reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. That's a statement of national humility. Or Lincoln, of course, thinking about a lot recently in his second inaugural, with faith in the right as God gives us to see the right. And statements such as those which recognize, or Washington maybe most famously in his farewell address, noting that there could be no morality going forward without a sense of piety, a religious humility, that morality had to be rooted in some kind of a faith tradition, a recognition of divine sovereignty. I think that's one that's been been one of the great sources of strength in this country, is recognizing the hand of God, the strong faith roots of American nationalism, I think, which I hope at this point can serve to draw us closer to each other in this terribly divisive environment, number one. The more one recognizes the hand of God, well, the more that one can narrow the differences between God's children, so to speak, and to see everybody as created in his image. But even more importantly, to get people to act with a greater sense of comedy or responsibility towards each other, with the notion that, of course, we all ultimately must answer to God for all of our actions. It's the more that faith tradition is present, I think, at this point, the stronger our national fiber will be. And that's something that we sorely need right now as we mark July 4th and the nation's independence. And we take a kind of a temperature check of the country overall. And we hope we could rediscover Ki Elokim Shofet Zem HaShpil V'Zem Merim, that God, of course, runs the fate of great nations as not only the fate of individuals. We hope that that recognition can lead us nationally to a place of greater strength and healing as we find ourselves still very much in the midst of this scourge. I want to wish everybody a Shavua Tov. We'll see everybody at 8:15 tonight. Move it up by a few minutes. And, again, we'll do the combination in